So through the, actually that's when he was born, so it might have been a little bit later, I'm not sure exactly, but back in those days, they didn't have as many cars, they didn't have as many farm machine, or at least my great-grandparents couldn't afford those things. So they had horses, and they had those big draft horses, and they would go out, and the story goes that that my grandfather would get out in the morning, just as a young boy, and try to catch those horses to go to work. And the horses didn't want to go to work. So he said it was hard in the morning, especially on those cold mornings. They knew what they were going to do all day. So he had to go get those horses and get them set for work. And even if you've seen anybody train horses, it's just amazing. At first, they're just wild, and they don't want to have anything to do with what you want to do with them or ride them or whatever. But they train them, and after they're trained, they can do all sorts of amazing things. They can pull wagons. They can... We were watching just a second of some bull, the cattle thing yesterday. We were watching, and the horse was jumping back and forth, cutting the cattle. That's what it was, cutting the cattle. And it was moving back and forth and just can do all sorts of amazing things after it's trained. And God can do all sorts of amazing things with us after he trains us, after he tames us. We're wild before we choose Jesus. We're wild. And after we choose Jesus, he can come into our life and do something amazing. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. We're like that horse that goes out and he does a good work. And God can use us once he redeems us from sin, once he cleanses us from sin through the blood of Jesus, through Jesus rising again. He can take us and purify himself a people, a peculiar people, zealous of what? Good works. And so he goes on in Titus. Titus has been preaching to people. Paul said, Titus, I want you to go to the island of Crete. I want you to preach Jesus to them. People are going to get saved, and people are going to be changed. God's word is going to change them. Now we're going to get to some really practical stuff. What do we do now? What are those good works that we should do now? What should we do to show Jesus? Jesus working from the inside out in our life. And in verse number 1 of chapter 3, 1 through a couple verses here, we're going to look at our kindness, the kindness that we're going to show towards other people. Our kindness towards other people. We know that this is a messed up world, right? This is not, we don't have to go very far to say this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this should change, this is not right. We don't have to walk very far in this life to know that's true, right? Messed up world, this is a messed up, sin-sick world. We live in the greatest nation on earth, but it's a messed up nation at this point. And what do? We have a messed up society. People, the kids are don't even know what gender they are. I mean, it's craziness what's going on in this life. Are disturbed. There's shootings. Every day you hear of a shooting, a school shootings. Why? Why? We're in a messed up, sin-sick world. There's riots. I mean, just a few years ago, people breaking windows and stealing in the name of a cause. That's craziness. Why'd you do that? Why would you do sinful things to just say against another sinful thing? Social media, kids are bullies on it and posting all sorts of crazy things. And you can't go on social media without seeing something vulgar and nasty. And you're not even looking for it. It just, there it is, vulgar, nasty. Road rage, somebody cut me off the other day. Probably cut you off the other day too, right? Didn't have to. This world is crazy. Things are going on crazy. And what do they need? They need Jesus. They need Jesus. This world is probably summed up in this, our society today, that it's very disrespectful. Right? We live in a disrespectful society. There's no respect for teachers. There's no respect for the kids. There's no respect for the adults. There's just people don't show respect. It's a very, very rare thing for people to show respect, the respect that should be shown to other people. And the Lord says, what are we going to do? Verse number 1, chapter 3, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. What good work? Well, we're going to have respect towards the things that God has set up. And what the first one is, subject to principalities and powers to obey magistrates. So in society as a whole, what should Christian, where should the Christian be? We should be the one that are subject, showing respect, showing reverence, obeying the laws. We should be the ones that are there. We shouldn't be the ones leading the charge in anarchy, right? We agree with that? We should be the ones showing respect to our police officers, showing respect to our elected officials that we put there. We should show respect, whether we like them or not. We should show respect. It's a sad thing. I mean, even yesterday, I seen on somebody's window, and they probably have the same political view as me, but on their window, it was a swear word and Janet Mills. That should never be on a Christian's bumper, right? It should never be that. We should pray for Janet Mills. Every single day, we should pray for her. We should pray for President Biden. We should pray for our elected officials. That should be the positions of the Christian. We don't have to agree with our elected officials, Republican, Democrat, wherever. We don't have to agree with them, but we do need to pray for them, and we do need to show respect and obey. If their laws aren't going against laws of the Lord, if they say, yeah, you can't come to church, we disobey. If they say, we burn your Bible, we disobey. If they say, as John was teaching earlier, you can't talk about the Lord on your lunch break, you can't do that, we disobey. We obey God rather than man. But if they do stupid laws like New York just passed the other day, you can't have a gas stove anymore. That's stupid. What? That's a dumb, but that's not against the Bible. It's stupid. I think it's stupid, but it's not against the Bible. So what do the people of New York do? They either vote their elected officials out, or they vote with their feet and they move. All right, that's what they do. That's their choice that they have, or they obey. We have the laws here. I think the dumb law, the bag law. I hate that law. You can't have a bag in your store. It's a dumb law, and they're gone anyway. So we obey that. There's things that we obey. There's things that we just respect. A man in the church up in Wiscasset, they're building a house, and they're going to the town board, and the board's saying, oh, you need this, and you need this, and you need this. And their contractor's saying, let's just do it anyways. And so they have a choice. Well, I don't know. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to do the right thing, and we're just going to wait on the town board, because you know what's going to happen when you start your own project and go against. They're just doing what the Bible says here, obey the magistrates, going by the rules that are put in place. Now, thankfully in America, we still have freedoms to overthrow stupid laws and different things, but we have to get together and work together. Many countries, many Christians don't even have that at all. So what do you do in those countries, such as China, such as Iran, such as all these different places? What do? You obey the law and you obey God. And when the two conflict, you make a choice. And the choice is, I obey God. But here, God's this was the Roman world, and where they crucified people for disobeying, right? So what did Paul just say here? Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey the magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Moving on. Verse 2 says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. So we have society in verse 1. Society as a whole, where should the Christian be? We should be obedient. We should be lifting up our people in prayer. We should be doing good works. And in verse 2 is kind of our personal life, or it is our personal life. And the very first thing he says, speak evil of no man. Isn't that hard to do? Even the ones we don't like, even those officials we don't like, isn't that hard to do? It is hard to do. It is hard. It's hard to do against even your own family sometimes, right? Speak evil of no man. If we could just do this one little phrase, that'll change our week, wouldn't it? Yeah. Man, you catch yourself all of a sudden talking about somebody, oh man, why? And you don't even know this person. Somebody on TV, somebody there, somebody this. You don't even know these people. We're talking evil. Just take it out of our speech, right? We just take it out. Now, it's not saying don't speak truth, because in chapter 1, verse 12, Paul said, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, Cretan, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, low bellies. In verse 13, this witness is true. So Paul was even saying not some very nice things. He was telling the truth. He was saying, this is true. These are characteristics that they have. This is true stuff. But we just don't need to be talking evil about other people. We don't need to bring out, even if it's true, the whole list of all these things that are bad about people, right? What good does it do in our life to rehearse the list with our friends? Man, this, that person, right? Yeah, they are that person, but does it help anything if we keep going over and over and over and over and we don't know that person, we can't do any change in that? No. So what should we do? Just throw it out. We don't need to talk about that. Yeah, it's true. They're evil, right? But do we have to rehearse it all the time? Is it good for us? No. Are there better things to do with our time? Yeah, there are. We pray for that person. Man, that person's evil. Lord, help that person change. Lord, send your son in their life and open their eyes to the blindness that they have. We'd be way better off doing that than just rehearsing, that person, that wicked. Oh, well, let's bring it to the Lord. Let's give it to the Lord. If they're super evil, let's give it to the Lord. Now, there is a time to speak up. There is. But not all the time, right? And if it's none of our business, let's just speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers, right? People like to fight. Just always looking for a good fight. Conflict, right? John was talking about conflicts. Some people just like to fight. Oh, man, they said this, they said that. And then sometimes they flip the side that they're on. If that person said this, I'm on this side. Nope, now they're this way, I'm this way. And you can see it with some people. They just like to fight, always looking for a good fight. We shouldn't be like that. Christian says, don't be a brawler. No brawlers. But gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Now, meekness is not weakness, right? Meekness is not, oh, like, I'm going to get run over. Oh, I guess this is what, yeah. No, we can stick up for ourselves. We can, if somebody's cheating us somewhere, hey, stick up for yourself. That's okay. You can stick up for yourself. You can say, this is truth. This is wrong. You've cheated me. It doesn't mean you just get knocked over because you're a Christian. But meekness is our spirit, having a gentle spirit. There's some people that if they're next to you, they're always hovering over you, demanding of you. You ever feel that? They're just right there in your space about everything, and they're just there. You're like, get away from me. Just leave me alone. Just don't be that person. Don't be that hover person that you're overbearing on people, demanding of people. Just a meek and a gentle spirit, and actually get more done. You will get done more with a meek spirit. John, you brought up a really good verse in Sunday school, and it was found in 2 Samuel, chapter 22. Why should we be meek? Why should we obey? Why should we be gentle? Why shouldn't we speak evil? Why should we be ready to every good work? The Bible says in 2 Samuel, chapter 22, verse 36, thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. We can be great Christians if we're gentle. We go in this world and we take God's salvation, God's strength, God's power, God behind us, and we go in this world and we're gentle, loving Christians. That's going to make a difference, because that world is not gentle, that world is not loving. That world doesn't know Jesus, but we do. We can make a huge difference with God's shield of salvation and gentleness. We can do great things for God. If we go back to Titus chapter 3, verse 3, we need to look in the mirror. Why should we not speak evil of people? Why shouldn't we fight? Why should we be gentle? Why should we show all meekness? Verse 3, because we ourselves were sometimes foolish. Uh-oh. Get the mirror looking in ourselves now. We're foolish sometimes, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Uh-oh. I don't like when the mirror's turned on me and I see a big honker coming out of my nose. Right? I don't like that when there's like crusties in my eye. I don't like it when my hair is all messed up. I have to fix that. Right? I fix that because, oh, man. And it's in our face. When we look in the mirror and God's truth of the word looks in our life, we can see, I was foolish in this situation. I said a foolish thing. I thought foolish things. I said, raise your hand if you ever done anything foolish before. All right, everybody. Miss George is the first one, but that's not a foolish person. Everybody's hand. Like, I'm so glad there's not a camera on me 24/7, all the foolish things that I do. That's not good. Disobedient. I mean, that's never happened to me, right? My kids have never been disobedient. No, none of us have ever disobeyed mom or dad or anything. No, we never broken a law or spat a little bit or done any of that. Never been disobedient. The mirror comes up, deceived. Ever been deceived about something and the blinders come off? Right? We live there ourselves. And so we can say, I was foolish. I've been disobedient before. I've been deceived before. I think I can give this person grace. They're in foolishness and deceived, and they're disobedient right now. I think I need to pray for that person. I think I need to take a little humble spirit and a meek spirit towards this person, a gentle spirit towards that person, because I was there once. I remember myself. And then remember this, serving divers lusts and pleasure? We've been there. If we look in our life, we've been there before. Where we've lived for ourselves and our selfishness. We've been there. Living in malice, just angry. Were you an angry person before you got saved? You'd fight at the drop of a hat? All right, are you there now? No, don't be there now. Envy? Oh, man, why did this person get this? And I deserve this. That's not right. Why do they have that? Hateful? Hate that person. Hate that person. Bitterness inside. Hating one another. He says, we were there. If we looked in, we look in the mirror, and we look in our past, it doesn't, we maybe don't have to go too far to say, that's where I was. That's where I was. That's where they are today. I can be kind. I can be gentle. I can be loving. I can give the benefit of the doubt. I better not say that. That's not nice to say about them. Yeah, it might be true, but does it do any good? Not really. I was there. Verse 4. Why can I be kind towards others? Why can I show respect in this society that shows no respect? Because Jesus came to me. Amen. Verse number 4. But after that, after what? After my foolishness, after my disobedience, after my lust, after my hatefulness, my envy, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Jesus stepped into the scene. It's just like you go in your kid's room and there is a bomb went off, a mess everywhere. And you go in there, oh boy. And as the kids are younger, it's overwhelming. They're overwhelming to you tell them to clean their room. They can't do it. They just can't comprehend where everything goes and what happens. So you step in the mess with them, and you clean it up together with them. And that's what Jesus did for us. Our life is a mess. Without Christ, our life would be a mess. And it was a mess. And then Jesus stepped on the scene, and he changed everything. And he cleans us up. He said, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Jesus' love and kindness. Aren't you glad we serve a loving Savior, a kind Savior? So why can I be kind? Why can I be loving towards people? Well, Jesus was awfully kind to me. He was loving towards me. And that's the attitude he wants us to have towards other people. Loving kindness of man appeared. When Jesus moved on the scene, it changed everything. Verse number 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. God not only gives us loving kindness, he gives us mercy. We go through that list in number 3, verse number 3. We deserve mercy, right? We don't deserve mercy. We need mercy, actually. We don't deserve it. But we need mercy. We look in the mirror of our life and say, yep, that was me. That was me. That was me too. Guilty, guilty. Doesn't that give you a weight? Put a weight on your shoulder? Guilty, we're sinful, and we're guilty, and we're guilty, and it burdens us. But God's mercy came, and he took it all away. We deserve death. We deserve punishment. But Jesus stretched out his arms, and he died on that tree, And he was buried and rose again to give me mercy. Merciful. Jesus was merciful to me. It's wonderful. He saved me. He washed me. Nathaniel, we went for a hike yesterday, and he fell in the creek. Yay! And he got his pants all dirty, and he cut himself up a little bit, and it was fun. Wasn't it fun, Nathaniel? That part might not be super, but it was fun. We're out there doing fun stuff. And so we took the pants, and we burned them. Didn't we burn them, Nathaniel? No, we can't afford to burn them. That's his one pair of jeans. So we went in the wash, because the kids grow too fast. But the pants went in the wash, and they come out, and they're clean. And we get dirty, we get muddy. God doesn't say, done, you're done, I'll throw you away, burn you up. Right? No, he says, I'm going to give you mercy, and I'm going to wash you, and I'm going to renew you, and I have a purpose for your life, and you're not all done. I'm going to keep going. And so if we fall, if we get dirty, if we fall into some of those old things that we used to do, foolishness and lust and envy and hateful, God says, you're dirty, but I can still have mercy, and I still have a plan for your life, and I'm going to wash you, and regeneration. It said the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit comes into our life, and he convicts us of sin, and he points us to Jesus, and Jesus washed us. Verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So the Holy Spirit convicts us. That's not where you should be. That's not what you should be doing. That's not how you should be thinking. That was wrong. That was disobedient. He convicts us, and he points us to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Get washed up. That's what he sheds, his mercy on us. Verse number 4, he gives us loving kindness. Why can I be kind towards other people? That's how Jesus acted toward me. He acted loving. Why can I show mercy to that jerk who just cut me off on the freeway? So hard. Because Jesus showed mercy to me. Right? And then he gives us grace. Verse number 7. That being justified by his grace, we should be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Grace is getting something we don't deserve at all. Something extra. Like your kids do something rotten and then you still give them ice cream afterwards. That's grace. It's just something extra. And the grace that we get heaven. We get to be with Christ forever and ever and ever. Hope of eternal life. We don't deserve it. It's just a big bonus. It's just an awesome bonus that God gives us. He gives us mercy, saving us from hell. He gives us mercy, not giving us what we deserve. And then he gives us heaven and riches, eternal life through him, and peace in our hearts, and that God is with us every step of the way on this earth. This is all grace. This is all bonus that we don't deserve, and it's awesome. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift of the Lord. Now, if we went around this room and we said, what has God done for you? Where were you? And what has God done? There would be story after story after story of, I was this. And I met Jesus, and I'm different. I was an unkind person before, and I met Jesus, and he changed me. I had so much hate in my heart, and then Jesus changed me. I was not a good person. Jesus changed me. And so we look at stories of redemption in our own church, in our own midst, and we say, what could God do out there? Because they're foolish. They're full of hate. They're full of envy. There's so much lust out there. There's wickedness out there. But there's also Jesus. And so what Jesus needs us to do is he works through us. He said, put them in mind, verse number 1. Put them in mind to be subject and put these things in mind. I want you to remember where you were, remember where what I did for you, and then be kind and turn to other people. Walk in kindness and gentleness. Like that verse that Mr. Merrill pointed out. That's so awesome, that verse. That thou hast also given me the shield of salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. And you can be a great person in your world. You could be the gentle person in your world that points people to Jesus. Walking down the road, Jesus changed me. Jesus can change you. Jesus loved me. Jesus can love you. Jesus washed me. boy, you're dirty, and Jesus can wash you too, right? You can do that. Why? Because Christ loves us. There's a YouTuber that I watch, and I don't agree with everything, but a lot of things I do. And so this lady, a Christian, and so he goes out and he witnesses, and there was an atheist that went and bashed him and bashed him and bashed him online. Just, this guy is a fool, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And so he took a gift card or $100, I can't remember what it was, but he sent it to this other lady saying, you know what, I love you and God loves you too. And she made another video and said, and just started crying, I can't believe that this guy that I was so mean to showed love. And it broke down a wall. And so how are they going to know about Christ? Throwing rocks at them, calling them names, putting up a wall? No, we need to show them the love of Christ. Just like Christ showed us love, we in turn show others love. And that's going to bring people to Jesus. Let's all stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Jesus loves us. He wants to redeem us. He wants to use us. But we have to be willing. Like those horses that my grandfather had. And when they were willing and they were all harnessed up, they did a great work. And they plowed the field.